chapter number 12. Book of Romans, chapter number 12.
It is a joy to be back tonight. Romans 12. Paul, in his writings, uses the word, I beseech you. That word means, come here. Won't you hear some? Then he uses a Bible word that brings connection to us, brethren. Watch this, by the mercies of God. Now, God didn't owe it to you to save you. He don't owe us nothing. But by His mercy, He has saved us. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Why say that? Because this flesh will get out of bounds on you if you're not careful. And he said, even though you're living, it's going to be a sacrifice to keep your bodies livable for His kingdom. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we've many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And here's the phrase I'm interested in tonight. Let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith or ministry. Here's the word again. Let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor, or get away from that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice. I know they'd get quiet when I read that text. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with goods. You may be seated tonight. I read that whole chapter of Romans 12, really just a springboard out of two verses, but I figured we really did need the reading of the Word of God tonight. Notice what he says in verse number 6, let us. Then in verse 7, he uses that phrase again in our text, let us. So I want to preach on this subject tonight. Lord, let us. Lord, let us. Now, there's a lot involved in that little phrase, let us. First of all, it means that He can make things impossible be possible. God wouldn't ask us to do that what we could not do without the power of the Holy Ghost. And if God lives in us tonight, this Bible teaches some things that it is possible through Him that goes against the flesh that we can accomplish by the good grace of God. So Lord, let us. Now, it means that it can be done, or it wouldn't be in our Bible. Let's look at a few of these let us tonight. Romans 13:12, and if you have a pen in your Bible, underline these words tonight. It'll do you good to go back and think on these things. Romans 13, verse number 12. The Bible said in 11, knowing the time that it now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. We're closer to meeting God right now at 6:20 than we were when we pulled up. And matter of fact, we're all going to meet Him. And so the Bible said the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Here's our phrase, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Oh, and let us put on the armor of light. Not only let us cast off the works of darkness, but let us put on the armor of light. Reminds me that we need to take off some things and put on some things. We can't be a light to a lost and a dying world if we're eat up with darkness. He says, put off those dark things. And He's not speaking to one, but He's speaking to all of us. Let us cast off and let us put on. Then Romans 13:13, here's our phrase again. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh. Let us walk honestly. Let's still teach our children that it's right to live right. To walk honestly. And you know, there's enough lies with people that is out trying to be bogus and phony. Let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay. Now, we all are not perfect, and we'll never be perfect. But I'm glad as we stand in Christ, we are perfect tonight. And therefore, we must realize that we must walk honestly. I want to say Christians shouldn't have a contract with Christians. There's a lot of things that I've given my word to, that once I got involved in it, I would love to took my word back. But it involved this. I said I'd do that. So I need to do that with the best point that I can. With my best foot forward. Even though it's going to cost me something, I need to keep my word. People's looking at our honesty. When we go to the Dollar General and we buy a can of Beanie Winnies and they put us a bag of crackers in there on our bill, and it's not on our bill. We ought to come back tomorrow and pay for it, or go back tonight and make it right. Well, oh no, that wouldn't go real good. But we must walk honestly in this old world. And a lot of times, let me tell you, God will test you in the areas of this life. And there's times that you think, well, I could get by. But let me tell you, you're not getting by if you're going against this Bible tonight. Oh, let us walk honestly. Then Romans 14:13. This will help us in our life, Romans 14:13. Here's the phrase again. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there's nothing unclean of itself. He said you can eat whole hog sausage and it'll be all right. He says, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. In other words, he may have a great conviction about this, and even though you've got liberty to do something, be careful not to do what you have liberty with in front of your brother and sister to give them occasion to stumble. Because most of the time, those that are that weak are looking for a reason to stumble. Now I want you to say, let not then your good be evil spoken of. For watch this, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace. And I love this, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I'm glad that there's joy in the Holy Ghost tonight. A lot of Baptists are scared of the Holy Ghost, but friend, let me tell you, if the Holy Ghost don't live in you, hell will be your home tonight. I'm glad the Holy Ghost is our comforter and our friend and our acquaintance. I'm glad we know who the Holy Ghost is tonight. He'll bring you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Brother Dana talking about there's no Merry Christmas without Jesus. That's exactly right, honey. You'll go through the routine, but the day you got saved, the Spirit of God come to live in you. He'll bring you joy unspeakable and full of glory tonight. Oh my, let us not judge. Be careful not to judge people. You might not know both sides of the story. Now, the Bible also teaches us that we know we can tell the fruit that's on the tree. But we better be careful that we not judge people lest we become judged. Oh, tonight, don't be critical with your spirit. Let us not judge. Let the Lord deal with it. And then Galatians 5:25. Turn over the right of your Bible. Galatians 5:25. Matter of fact, I picked up every one of these let us through the New Testament teaching through the epistles. And he says, let us cast off. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly. Let us not judge. Galatians 5:25. The next time that the Holy Ghost puts it in our Bible, he simply says this. If we live in the Spirit, here's the phrase, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one of another. Not only let us walk in the Spirit, but verse 26, let us not be desirous of vainglory. In other words, don't be patting ourselves on the back and trying to put on a show, us getting the glory out of our teaching, singing, preaching, praying. Honey, let me tell you, it's all to Him be the glory tonight. You know, you can tell folks the second you see them up on the platform if they're in the entertainment business or the promoting Jesus business. God said, don't bring vain glory to yourself. And so let us not bring about vain glory. Galatians 6, verse number 9. Underline this. A lot of people need to realize this verse. Get acquainted with it. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. A lot of people say, Brother Ken, I don't understand. It seems like a lot of services. We're just going through the motion. Well, let me tell you what. I'm glad the house of God is open tonight. I'm glad it was open this morning. I'm glad our altars are always open. I'm glad the Word of God's still right to preach out of. Can I tell you, weary pilgrim, don't get weary being weary. Our body and our flesh gets tired. Even our spirit gets tired. But I sure am glad there's a better day that is a-coming. Honey, we better not be working for what we can see in this world, but we better be laying up treasures for ourselves above in heaven. Oh, don't become weary in well-doing. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Look what it says, for in due season. It's going to take a little while. But see, it takes a little while to see what you made out of. Due season. If you plant a crop, it don't come up overnight. There's work involved. And there's labor, and there's a lot of, I'll be honest with you, heartache and discouragement involved. But just stay with what you know, what this Bible says, and stay in it. And he says, we shall reap if we faint not. How many people started out right? They got weary and well-doing, but they began to play out, lost hold of God, and now they've lost a great reaping. Oh, let me tell you, I sure would hate to know that I picked the stones out of the field, plowed the field, planted the field, and then walked off and didn't see about it when I could have stayed there and seen about it and received a harvest by the grace of God. Let me tell you, don't become weary and well-doing in your family, in your living, in your church, and everything you're about tonight. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Then Galatians 6 and 10. As soon as the Holy Ghost penned it, verse 9, He put it again in 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Notice this, it takes a joint effort. Let us do good. Let us. In other words, we need to be involved in helping others and looking for situations that we can be a great blessing in. Oh my, if there's ever been a verse that this ministry has been built on, it is Galatians 6 and 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially. You see that, underline it. It means something to God with His children. Let me tell you something. You hear me and hear me good tonight. God loves everybody. God sees about every perfect and good gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. God blesses everybody. But you want to get God's attention? Look what that Bible says. Especially those that are the household of faith. We're in the family tonight. By the good grace of God. And I'm going to tell you something. You're special to God, and it's special to God when you help somebody in God's family. So let us do good. Then it seems as we go now to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 6. The Spirit of God pins this phrase down again at the ending of the letter to Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 6. Paul says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken, they're drunk in the night. But let us, who are the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, watch your Bible, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Now, let us not be weary in well-doing. Let us do good. Let us not sleep. But let's turn to the writer of Hebrews, where I think was the Apostle Paul, my opinion, in his writing. It has the flavor of his other epistles. But in Hebrews 4, in verse number 14, we have this phrase comes again in the book of Hebrews. Matter of fact, it's never mentioned again out of Hebrews. He says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Here it is again. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Tonight, if you need grace, I can tell you where you can find it. You might not find it, unfortunately, through your brothers and sisters. You may not find it downtown in Bowden, but I tell you where you can always find grace. That's at the throne of grace. It's one place where grace comes tonight. That's from the Father above. That, through the benefits of His darling Son, who hung and died on Calvary's tree, He said, let us therefore come boldly to that throne of grace. Let us. Then Hebrews 10 and 19. Watch what your Bible says. Hebrews 10, verse number 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, having an high priest over the house of God. Here's our phrase. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You say, preacher, what are you saying tonight? Let us draw near. God is a God that wants us near tonight. Let us draw near. It means it brings effort on our part. Have you ever noticed when you just turn loose to what this Bible says, how far away you'll get from God? We must purpose in our hearts to draw near. It must be a purpose that we want to be close with Him. Let us draw near. Let me tell you, if there's ever been a time in church where we need to understand, we got to have God and we need Him. And in order for Him to be where He needs to be, we must all draw near. Brother Dana paid one of the biggest compliments to this church this morning. I don't know if you caught on to what he said or not, but he simply said this, there's such a sweet spirit and a holy presence. Let me tell you, you know why our church, the reason we have the services that it has, because people are drawing near. I can guarantee you tonight, any time that we gather together and our church service is dead and flat, it's one reason. We're not drawing near. God wants His children to be close. You want your children close. When your children's out there and not doing what you're wanting them to do, don't it affect you? Well, it affects God with His children tonight. He wants us to draw near. Aren't you glad you got a God that don't say, get back? You've gone too far and I'll not accept you back. No, no, He says, come here. Draw near. Let us. Then, Hebrews 10. Look in 23. He says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. You know, when I just read that then, you know who I thought about who's a great example of that verse in our ministry? And he's not here tonight, but Brother Donald Hubbard. Brother Donald has held fast of his profession. There's a lot of Sundays, I'll guarantee you, he's not felt like being here. But he came. I love the way in his 80s he'll still stand up and scare visitors. Amen. I love that. We need people like that, Brother Lee, in our church. I remember when your mother and daddy were so good at that, standing up and exhorting about the Lord, holding fast their profession of faith. Hold on to it. It's worth holding on to. I've noticed the things that I've lost, it's because I wouldn't hold on to it. No, you can't lose your salvation. But yes, you can lose your profession of faith to a community. To a lost and a dying. Our children here need us tonight. Holding fast the profession of our faith. Matter of fact, they're counting on us. Tonight I sat back over there on the couch and just watched some of you. Some of the children came by. Some began to show me what they'd got, what some had, and what they were going to do. And I just got to thinking, you know, a lot of times the devil never shows mom and daddies just really what you're pouring in children. But you'll be surprised what your children are getting because you're holding on to the profession of your faith. Let us hold fast. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider one another. That word consider means to observe fully. He says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good work. In other words, we ought to be encouraging one another to keep on pressing on for the glory of God. Somebody emailed me today. They said, we're newcomers to the community. We'd like to know what your church is about, where you preach at. What are y'all about? I replied and I said, well, we're old-fashioned. We focus on old songs. We sing the old hymns. We preach the Bible, and our focus is preaching and worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Ken, why do you say that? Because we must realize we must together let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now, notice the Bible says in Hebrews 12 and verse 1. He's going to mention it three more times. It says in Hebrews 12, verse number 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us lay aside and let us run with patience. Why would he say, lay aside those weights? You ever tried putting a heavy weight on you and going a certain distance? You can't go near as far. Boy, if we'd unload sin off of us, we'd walk a lot lighter for the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus. Sin weights you down. Sin keeps you from running how you could run. And then he says, let us lay that aside. And then he said, let us run. Let us run with patience. It's going to take time, preacher. Sunday school teacher, mom and dad, it's going to take time. But aren't you glad Christ didn't give up on you? Watch this. Let us run with patience. Hey, Brother Bud, watch this. The race that is set before us. God's got a path set in front of me and you. Matter of fact, there's been a path set in me, I'll be honest with you, the last 10 years that I had no idea of what would be in front of me. You've got things in front of you that God has got set for you. Nobody else but you. That could be from every aspect of life. God has things set in front of you. God's got things set in front of this ministry. Therefore, we must run together. Matter of fact, there's no big uns, there's no little uns. We all stand even. And let me tell you something. In spite of what you may think, you're going to make mistakes. May we that are in the family of Christ pick up one another, encourage us to move on for the honor and the glory of God. You look through so many Bible characters, failure wasn't final. But it's one key ingredient to everyone that ever amounted to anything. They got their heart back right with God. Let us run. And then Hebrews 13:15. Last time it's mentioned. Underline it in your Bible. By Him. Therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Why would He mention sacrifice and praise in the same sentence? I can tell you exactly why. Sometimes you won't feel like praising Him. I hear a lot of phony baloney stuff. Oh, I just wake up all day on top of the world. I don't. Sometimes I wake up under the bed. Sometimes I just got to make myself say thank you. But I've noticed once I go to making myself thankful and offer the sacrifice of praise, I go to getting help in my life. Can I say something? Some of you are going to shake your head when I say this. But sometimes this old body just don't feel like coming to church. But I've noticed this, if I wanted to go to the deer stand or if I wanted to go to Outback and these discs was rare, and I'd say, well, honey, let's just go. I can make it over there and back. Folks would go out to Talladega Raceway, 80,000 of them sit out there in the boiling sun. They come to church. It's just too hot down there. We're going to look at the weather. Radar Saturday night said, we're going to go to church Sunday morning if it's a little cool. Well, you wear your boggin to work. You can wear it and take it off when you get in here. Let us offer the sacrifice. Hey, has God been good to you? And I will say it might always not feel right to praise Him, but it'll always be right to praise Him. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, look, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate or to give, forget not. Watch this. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You know, before long I'm going to preach a sermon, the things that God is well pleased with. I guarantee you God is well pleased with the sacrifice of our prayer. Look, when we sing, can I help you? When we come to church here, you say, well, preacher, I'm not emotional. Well, let's talk to your children about that. Let's talk to your wife about it or your husband. It's okay, you say amen or not. You nod your head anyhow. You smile. You might not run, lap the building, throw your hands up and shout, but you smile and say, amen. I was preaching at church not long ago. I never seen so many people shaking their head up and down, wouldn't say a word. I said, well, Lord, I'm glad you don't shake your head up and down anyway. At least they wouldn't have doing this all night. Appreciate you being here this evening. Let us think about those things. Matter of fact, I don't know if you caught this or not, but I'd like to end that sermon with this. It's a group effort.